For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it's not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, won't his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God.
Right, will our Jewish friends be saved on Judgment Day? That's our question for today. I remember a Jewish colleague at KPMG, where I used to work. He was called Daniel, and he was very devout and would leave the office early every Friday to prepare for the Sabbath, the Shabbat. You may have a Jewish colleague yourself, or you may have Jewish friends, or you might even be Jewish yourself. Well, Jewish people are in a very privileged position with regards to God. God spoke directly to their ancestors thousands of years ago. At Mount Sinai, God gave them the famous Ten Commandments through his servant Moses. Commandments such as, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery." Jewish people also have circumcision, the visible sign that they are part of God's people. And so with these two valuable assets, surely the Jews must be favored by God. Surely they're not like the unrighteous people described back in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Do you remember? God is angry at the unrighteousness and ungodliness of man. They're not like them. They've got the law. They've got circumcision. So surely God must approve of these people. Surely he will allow them into heaven on Judgment Day. Now, first century Jewish people were certainly very confident in their status as God's chosen people. The basis of this confidence was their knowledge of God's commandments. Verse 23 of today's passage tells us that these Jewish people boasted in the law. And the law is referring to God's commandments in the Old Testament. No other nation on earth had received the same privilege as the Jewish nation. These laws had been handed down multiple generations over many centuries. They showed what God approved of and what he didn't approve of. And so The Jewish people sought to live by these rules. For example, as I mentioned earlier, by circumcising their male children, and also by not doing any work on Saturdays. These commandments set the Jewish people apart from the rest of the world. They marked them out as God's chosen people. You can understand why Jewish people took a great deal of pride in these commandments from God, and even relied on them to be made right with God. Well, what does God make of the Jewish people? Will they actually be saved on the Day of Judgment? Will he let them into heaven? Well, let's dive into today's passage to see what God says. And you can see an outline of today's talk on your tables, on the other side of the handouts. Our first point, God wants law keepers, not just law hearers. What really matters to God, as we will see in a minute, is obedience to the law, not just knowledge of it. Let me read verse 13. Paul says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." So Jewish people may have heard the law read out hundreds, if not thousands of times in their synagogue every week. They may have received the best explanations of the Torah from the world's leading experts. They may even have memorized God's commandments by heart. They could just reel them off one by one. And yet, that knowledge does not make them right with God. No, what God wants is obedience. He wants people to keep these commandments, not just to know them. It is the doers of the law who will be justified. Paul then brings in the Gentiles in verse 14. As many of us will know, the Gentiles are the non-Jews, people who are not Jewish. Verse 14 says this, "For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law." I think it's really interesting that Paul is so positive about the non-Jews. Twice he says that they do not have the law. They're not in as privileged a position as the Jews, but at the same time, they actually do what the law says. They obey the law without even knowing the law. And God is happy, like God approves. Paul says in verse 15 that the work of the law is written on the hearts of these Gentiles, and their conflicting thoughts may even excuse them on the Day of Judgment. I personally think Paul is talking about Gentile Christians here. Because of their circumcised hearts and cleansed consciences, they will be pardoned by God on Judgment Day. But then I know people have different views on who Paul is referring to here. But setting that aside, Paul's main point is really clear. God wants law keepers, not just law hearers. He wants obedience, not just knowledge. Now, I remember doing my accountancy exams a few years ago. Some of us may have gone through the same exams, or we may be doing them right now. It's hard to forget, really. All of us sitting these exams know that cheating is wrong. And if you're caught cheating, you can't just get away with it by saying, "Well, I know that cheating is wrong." Because what really matters is that you don't cheat. You can only pass the exam if you stick to the rules. Now imagine if someone sitting these exams had not read the exam regulations, but she knew in her heart that cheating was wrong. She knew it. And this person went to the loo during the exam and happened to stumble upon someone else's notes in the loo. But then she thought, "No, I'm not going to look at these notes. I'm going to report it straight to the examiners." And of course, she'll be commended for doing the right thing, even though she hadn't read the exam regulations beforehand. And so the Gentiles who obey the law are like this person who refuses to cheat. They may not know it. They may not have read the law, but they are keeping the law. They are doing what it says. And so God will commend them on Judgment Day for keeping the law. So, in summary, God wants law keepers, not just law hearers. Knowledge by itself is not enough. A person has to keep the commandments of God to be right with God. Well, if God wants law keepers, what about the Jewish people? Are they able to keep the law that they boast in? Well, now in our second point, the law boasters are law breakers. Paul starts by saying how much Jewish people boast in the law in this section. And let's have a look at verses 17 to 20. Paul says, "But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent, because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth." Paul is highlighting the confidence that Jewish people had in the law. They are so proud of the fact that they know God's will and they approve of the things that he approves. They see themselves as moral guides to the pagan Gentiles who live around them. They are the guardians of God's truth, the teachers to these ignorant, foolish people who do not know God and his laws. Perhaps for some of us it would be someone like the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury, you know, a spiritual and moral leader who people look up to and get advice from. Well, Paul then moves on to actually say some pretty hard-hitting things about these Jewish people who boast in the law. In essence, he's saying that they are hypocrites. Let's read verse 21 together. He says, "You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, that you who detest idols, do you rob temples? Jewish people are doing all the things that they are telling other people not to do." So they are, they preach against stealing, but they steal themselves. They say that one must not commit adultery, but then they do that themselves. And then they rob temples when they tell others not to worship idols. And some of us may have been here last week. Remember the self-righteous people who Paul condemns? Well, it's similar here, isn't it? They say one thing, but then they do another. These Jewish people who boast in the law are hypocrites as well. Now imagine for a moment the Pharisee who commands other people, oh, that stealing is wrong, you shouldn't steal. But then he goes out of the synagogue and then he exploits the poor widow and repossesses her home. Or the rabbi who condemns his neighbor for sleeping with someone who's not his wife, but then he then goes on to divorce his own wife in order to marry another woman. So these guys do not practice what they preach. They are hypocrites. Paul sums up his argument in verses 23 and 24. "You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law. For it, as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." So in other words, the law boasters, those who boast in the law, are in reality law breakers. Even though they know the law and they even teach the law, they know it so well, they even teach it, they do not actually live up to its standards. They fail to love God with all their heart, and they fail to love their neighbors as themselves. And so they dishonor God by their hypocrisy. They ruin his reputation amongst non-Jewish people. When the Gentiles look at the Jews, they don't see godly people who reflect the holy character of God. Instead, they see people who are hypocrites. And so they conclude that the God of Israel is just similar to the immoral pagan gods that they worship, like Zeus. And so they're not interested in worshipping the one true God of Israel. Do some of us remember John Major, the former Conservative Prime Minister? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. That's good. So he launched a campaign called Back to Basics in the 90s, and this he was calling for a return to traditional values in public life, like public decency, family values, that sort of thing. But very sadly, after this campaign was launched, several Conservative politicians were caught up in a series of scandals, including Major himself. It turned out that the Prime Minister had been involved in a 4-year affair with another woman. What a disgrace! The politicians were exposed as hypocrites. They were calling on people to behave uprightly, respectfully, and yet they themselves were doing all these things, bad things themselves. They were, committing affairs. So needless to say, this Back to Basics campaign was a failure. It didn't work, and it was ridiculed by the public. The Jewish people who boasted in the law have been exposed by Paul as law breakers. They dishonor God, and they bring his name into disrepute. Well, what about circumcision? We've talked a lot about the law, so the Jewish people break the law, but they still have circumcision, right? That's the second defense they have. Well, Jewish people could still boast in circumcision. This is our third point. Heart circumcision is what really counts. Physical circumcision was instituted by God to Abraham, the first patriarch of the Jews. It was a physical sign to show that the Jews now belonged to God. They were his chosen people. They would receive God's blessing as a result. But really strikingly, Paul says that physical circumcision doesn't count for anything if it doesn't come with obedience to the law. Let's read verse 25. For if circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So in other words, circumcision is only meaningful if you actually keep the commandments of God, because it shows that you truly are a man of God or a woman of God. But conversely, if you break the law, circumcision itself will not make you right with God. And Paul then goes on to talk about the Gentiles who keep the law. Look down with me to verse 26. So if a man who is uncircumcised, that's the Gentile, keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised, but who keeps the law, will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision, but break the law. So what is Paul saying here? It's quite a long sentence. The uncircumcised person, the Jew, the Gentile, who keeps the law, will actually be counted by God as a man or woman of God. They will also show up the Jew who breaks the law, because the Jew who breaks the law will have no excuse on Judgment Day. They have had this extraordinary privilege of having both God's law and circumcision, and yet they failed to live in accordance with the law. And so they will be in trouble. They will have no excuse on the day of judgment. Paul concludes his argument in verses 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. So Paul's conclusion here is that heart circumcision is what really matters. Outward and physical circumcision isn't actually enough. A person must receive a new heart from the Holy Spirit to be truly circumcised. Only then will he or she become a true Jew, a true member of God's holy people. Only then will he or she be commended by God on the day of judgment. My friends adopted a child a few years ago. Once the adoption papers were finalized and approved, this child, this boy, officially became a part of my friend's family. Even though there was no change at all to the boy's outward appearance, he now had a completely different identity. He'd become the son of my friends. He now lived with them, ate with them, and slept under the same roof as them. And I'm happy to say that he's now a much loved member of the family. Well, the heart circumcision is an even more radical transformation. It turns a non-Jewish person into a child of God. He or she is now a member of God's family. He or she will be commended by God on Judgment Day. What an amazing transformation. Well, as an aside, this passage explains why Christian babies do not need to be physically circumcised. Because physical circumcision no longer matters to God. What matters is that their hearts are circumcised by the Holy Spirit. And that is what those of us who are Christian parents, godparents, and family friends should be praying for, that the child's heart would be circumcised by the Spirit so that they become a child of God. So back to our opening question. Will our Jewish friends be saved on Judgment Day? Well, today's passage shows us that just by being a Jewish person does not automatically guarantee salvation. It doesn't mean that you will be saved. We've seen clearly that knowing the law and being circumcised physically does not make a person right with God. In fact, the Jews who boasted in the law were exposed as law breakers. They dishonor God by their hypocrisy. So there is no hope for Jewish people who boast in the law, who rely on their knowledge of the law to be right with God. They will not stand on Judgment Day. And if there is no hope for these Jewish people who boast in the law, there is even less hope for the rest of us. Because after all, the law was given by God and circumcision was instituted by him. Whereas for all other religions that are man-made, they can't even lay claim to it. They can't even say that their rules are from God, because they're just man-made. And so there's no hope for these followers of man-made religions to get right with God. So we've seen today that what does make a person right with God is obedience to God's law and heart circumcision. These are the key things that make a person right with God. And so the burning question is, how can Jewish people be counted by God as being obedient to the law? How can their hearts be circumcised by the Spirit? And of course, the same applies to us as well. How can we be counted by God as obedient? And how can our hearts be circumcised? Well, thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That really is the answer. If we trust in Jesus Christ, we will receive his perfect obedience to the law, and our hearts will be circumcised by the Holy Spirit. That is how our Jewish friends can be made right with God. If they trust in Jesus, they will receive Jesus' obedience. They will receive circumcised hearts by the Spirit. And it is also how we, as disobedient Gentiles, can be made right with God as well. If we trust in the same gospel, in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, we too can receive his obedience. Our hearts can also be circumcised. Now, if you're not a Christian and you'd like to find out more about this message of salvation in Christ, well, please do sign up to the Christianity Explored course that is happening, that's starting next week. We'd love to help you to explore the Christian faith over the course of 3 weeks. So please come and speak to me if you'd like to find out more about that. If you are a Christian already, which I think is most of us in this room, well, let's give thanks to God for the gospel. I hope this passage helps us to appreciate the gospel even more, because we've seen that even the most religious people in the world desperately need the gospel to be made right with God. It really is the only answer. The law, the commandments, the circumcision, these things, as we've seen, they cannot make the Jewish person right with God because they end up breaking the law. And so let's celebrate and rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ that does indeed make us right with God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage. Thank you for showing us that our Jewish friends really do need the gospel, that they who boast in the law and rely on circumcision are actually lawbreakers, that they what they really need is their hearts to be circumcised by the Spirit. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to share this good news of Jesus with them, so that they too may believe in Jesus and be saved. We pray for ourselves as well, for those of us who do believe in the gospel. Forgive us when we take it for granted. Help us to appreciate just how much we need it to be made right with you. And help us to share it with those who don't know it yet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.